Welcome to Dispatch in Depth, where we give you the stories behind the science of emergency dispatch. This is an official podcast of the International Academies of Emergency Dispatch, the world's leading authority in dispatch science. I'm your host, Becca Barris, writer and copy editor for the Journal of Emergency Dispatch. In each episode, we'll be bringing you stories of the fascinating people who work in this area. We'll give you their backstory, including how they got there, what they're working on, and what drew them to the field. These are people who represent the cutting edge in emergency dispatch, and I hope you'll join us to hear more about them. Welcome to Dispatch in Depth. Today, we're going to be chatting with other podcast hosts. Sammy Pohl and Erica Snyder both work for the City of Loveland Emergency Communication Center in Loveland, Colorado. Their podcast is called How To 911, which they use to answer common questions and misconceptions held by the public. Welcome, Sammy and Erica.
Hi.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
So we're going to get started out with a question I ask all of our podcast guests. How did you get into your current job? What do you do for City of Loveland? Let's start with you, Sammy.
So I got into this job almost 3 years ago because of a Citizens Police Academy while I was living in Wyoming. And one of my friends just ended up dragging me along because they didn't want to take the class by themselves. And so I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. I've got Wednesday nights off. I'll take it. And then there was a presentation on dispatch, and I was actually super interested, and they ended up hiring probably a couple months after that. And so I applied, and then I started working there, and I worked at that dispatch center for about a year. Then I applied for the job here in Loveland because I wanted to be closer to my family in Colorado. And yeah, I've been doing that, or this. I've been doing that. I'm planning on leaving soon. No, I'm not. I've been doing this for 2 years almost. And yeah, so I'm a 911 dispatcher for the City of Loveland.
Great. How about you, Erica?
I started almost 14 years ago, and mine is not as exciting as Sammy's. I just needed, at the time, something, a job to do. So I had gone to school here locally and didn't find anything that I wanted to do, and I thought I'd give this a whirl, and I gave myself 3 years to see if I liked it, because training takes, you know, so long. I thought I owed it to the agency to give them 3 years, and fast forward to now where I'm still doing it and really enjoy it. And I do some other things. I'm a CTO, training officer, and I'm an EMDQ. So doing a little bit of everything.
You're an EMP.
Oh yeah, and I'm an EMP.
Oh my gosh. That's so exciting. Sammy's like, I got you, Erica. Let me just hype you up a little bit.
Let me just keep listing your credentials.
That's really cool, though, right? Because I think so often people get stuck in that mindset of, I have to know what I'm going to do with the rest of my life, you know, in my early 20s, and or even, you know, in high school as a teenager. And it's really nice to know that people just kind of see job openings and say, well, I don't know, I'll give this a whirl, and then just find that it works super well for them.
Yeah, you kind of fall in love with it and didn't even know you were looking for love.
I mean, both of you must love it enough to make a podcast about it. Both of you volunteered. Well, actually, Sammy volunteered. Erica was not hesitant exactly, but she wasn't charging in. Is that fair to say?
I think Erica was actually charging in more than I was.
I was super supportive, and I'm sure Sammy will tell the story, but just supportive of her idea and her willingness to take on this endeavor and show citizens, because it is a citizen, you know, focused podcast, what we do, why we do it, how we do it in a different format that I have no clue about.
So Sammy, go ahead and tell us how you came up with the idea to do How To 911.
So, I mean, just like everybody else in the world, especially those that are listening to this, I love podcasts, and I listen to so many, and I listen to how, like, the hosts were like, oh yeah, we just do this and it's super fun and super easy. And I was like, well, if they can do it, I can do it, like, duh. So I was talking to, like, some of my friends. I was like, what do you think I should do a podcast about? It has to be something that I'm interested in, something that has longevity and all these things. And my friends had all these suggestions, but the only thing that I could, like, stick in my head was like my job, because ever since my first day in 911, I was always like, why aren't we taught these things? I have no idea, like, what's going on. Because, like, I didn't know 911 did this. I didn't know this. I didn't know that. And if somebody who has, like, access to the internet didn't know these informations, like, growing up, you know, like, we have technology at our fingertips, but we just accept that 911 exists and have no idea how to use it. Like, as a kid, like, you're taught, like, if something happens, call 911. But, like, we're never told, like, why or what to say or like how it all works. So I thought it was interesting, and I felt myself getting frustrated as even a new dispatcher, like, how do you not know these things? But then I had to remind myself, if I didn't even know these things, how do I expect the public to know this? So I was just like, that's it, that's what I'm gonna make the podcast about, because it's something that I'm passionate about. Like, anytime I'm talking to my friends, they're like, well, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, do you have 6 hours to sit down and talk to me? Because I would love to tell you every single thing that I do and what it entails and all these things. And so I was actually still in training, and I had reached out to my CTO, Erica, and I was like, what if we made like an educational podcast about 911? And she was like, do it. And I was like, never mind.
It's too hard. No.
Yeah. I suddenly realized that it's actually going to put forth a lot of effort. So never mind. But she just kept pushing me and was like, reach out to the supervisors and see if it's something that the police department or at least the city would support, which they did, which was so surprising. I came up with like proposal topic ideas, like everything that's like the minimum of like logo and like artwork and like what it's going to be about and all this stuff. And yeah, I came up with all that and it got approved. And then I was like, well, heck, I gotta follow through with this. And I know I didn't want to do the podcast alone, just because I'm still so new in this, and it would be nice to have like that banter of like back and forth, because it's like two different, I don't know. I'm more interested in listening to podcasts where like people play back and forth with their ideas and stuff like that, especially with like an educational podcast. That way you get two points of views. And I was like, who would be better than my awesome CTO who supported me through this idea? And also Erica has done so much public education that I had been aware of as I was new in training. I was just like, well, she's really into the public education. She's really into 911. As we just said, I've been in for almost 3 years, almost 14 years here. So we have like two very different points of view. So I asked her to be in it and she was like, sure. Yeah. So,
yeah, until you kick me out.
Yeah, that's literally what she said. She's like, okay, well, when you decide that you don't want me on anymore, that's totally fine. And I was like, that's not going to happen. So
you're like, you're not my training wheels. You're the wind beneath my wings. So jot that down.
Yes, 100%. She kept calling herself my sidekick. And I'm like, what, called a co-host? So there's that.
So How To 911, you guys launched in April 2020. So almost a year ago now.
Yeah.
How long were you prepping before it? Because I know that you talked about, Sammy, the longevity of the podcast. And that's one of the things that you have to consider when you have a podcast is, how long am I going to be able to sustain this, right? How many different topics are there conceivably on this topic?
Yeah. When I first wrote down the proposal and topic ideas, I had like a full page of them. Like, for some reason, I was just like, this and this and this and this and this. But then I slowly realized that some of my ideas were something that we cover in like 5-10 minutes. And that's really not enough for a full episode. So we might have to like smash some of those ideas together where they're relevant. And so we're kind of reaching the end of that list already and a year in, which is kind of crazy to me, because I thought it was going to take a lot longer to go through that list. So we are clearly already working for more ideas. But I mean, I think the end is never in sight, just because 911's ever changing. People are always going to have questions. I'm always going to run into situations in which, like, I'm asking, how did somebody not know this? And how can I help them or help everybody else? Because they're obviously not the only person that doesn't understand something. So I think just everyday working, we're just going to keep on plugging along with episodes. And yeah.
And there's so many different branches of things that we can do. So we've done, you know, interviewed police officers, and we have more to do. And firefighters and paramedics and other dispatchers and all these things where we can kind of branch out, that it's related, but not just 911, but kind of like the whole universe, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it also helps that you have guests on the episodes too, right? So it's the two of you co-hosts, not sidekicks. And you also bring guests in, like you said, you talk to police officers and things like that. How do you go about finding guests for the podcast?
I think our first interest was giving people a better idea of like just Loveland in general. So we were like, 911 isn't obvious because that's what we do. But then we also wanted to talk to our police officers because I'm sure if there's misconceptions about what we do, there's misconceptions about what they do, as well as our paramedics and firefighters. But as you said, our podcast came out in April, which was like the height of the pandemic. So we haven't really been able to like reach out to our firefighters and paramedics because we have been basically closed doors to anybody from the outside. It's just convenient that our police officers share the same building as us. So it was a little bit easier to like meet up with them. So we're hoping to reach out to them soon. And then we're also thinking about how if people are in Larimer County listening to our podcast, which is Loveland is in Larimer County and so are other cities and all of these things, we aren't the only ones that dispatch in this area. So if someone's listening to our podcast from like Fort Collins, they're gonna probably get a different experience than somebody would. And that's what we're teaching people about is how Loveland does things. So we've had interviews with, or an interview, I guess, with another dispatcher from Larimer County, just to talk about the differences between the two centers when we're literally like, I would say Larimer County is like our mama. Mm-hmm. And then we're the little baby. Like we're so close together, but we have, like, it's so crazy to think about how different it is.
I would say we have good relationships with our officers here since we are in the same building, even though we haven't been able to see them for a year. We're able to reach out to them and they're luckily very willing and interested to chat with us. And the agencies that we use, our mama agency, the sheriff's office, you know, we have working relationships with the dispatchers there, so we can reach out to them. And you know, with our firefighters, we've had a good working relationship with them over the years, and again with our paramedics. So just reaching out to them and having already fostered those good relationships.
We also reached out to Ryan Dedman and Jim Marshall from the 911 Training Institute because Erica's super passionate about empathy fatigue and CCT, compassion cultivation training. So just like things like how to prevent burnout, how to understand what it is that dispatchers actually have to deal with. Like we can tell you we take terrible calls, but like from an outsider's perspective, that might not seem like something that would affect us. So giving a door into that kind of, not a door, but like a look in, like a little peek, crack the door open a little bit, just a little peek as to what we do. Erica thought of the great idea of reaching out to them because that's something that they talk about all the time. They have the book about it, The Resilient Dispatcher, mm-hmm. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
But yeah, so we reached out to them and they wanted to be a part of it, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. And so, I think we just like, this community is like so awesome and like helping each other out. So anyone that we, if we have a topic and we're like, you know who'd be great for that? We'd probably reach out to them. I think we're trying to like stay focused on our roots right now, mm-hmm. Try to make sure that we don't get too crazy about like what we're setting in to do. So
Jim Marshall is great. And I know Ryan Dedman, too. He's on our outreach committee. So like you said, you guys cover a lot of different topics. You talk about empathy fatigue and you talk about locations, calling in from a cell phone. You guys talk about COVID, obviously, because you can't ignore COVID in these times. What has been your favorite episode? And then follow up question, what is the coolest thing you've learned from doing this podcast?
Okay. I think my favorite episode is one that we like just did. Are we gonna choose the same one again?
No, I knew which one you're gonna choose and now I specifically chose a different one.
Okay, cool. So we just interviewed two of our canine officers and oh my gosh, it was so much fun because A, we got to play with the dogs, but then B, I did not know some of like the dog psychology behind how like canine dogs work. It was super crazy to think of like one of the things that we learned was that when dogs go to like bite some like a suspect or somebody that they're searching for, they see that as like a game. Like they're not doing it because they're like, oh, let's catch the bad guy. They're doing it because like the person's yelling and that is more fun to them. So they're going to bite harder because they think it's like a squeaky toy. Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. Oh my gosh.
So we learned like crazy, like dog psychology, things like that, that I never ever would have realized. And so I learned a lot from that.
All right, Erica, how about you?
My favorite was, I mean, yes, the canines, because dogs, of course. Yeah. But we had interviewed two of our traffic officers and they are so knowledgeable and they're a couple of really good guys too, but really knowledgeable in all that traffic stuff that you don't, that we don't think about on our end, and just all the things that they were able to teach us about what they do and what they'd like from us and things like that. So it was really fun talking to them. And then the coolest thing isn't necessarily like, it's not as cool as the squeaky toy canine bites, but what I have really appreciated over interviewing the officers is learning what they need and want from us when we take calls and things like that, and how much they do appreciate us. And yes, it's, you kind of assume you appreciate your dispatcher and it's like, oh, they're there doing their job, and we know that they're doing their job, but to hear it and to really like see them as people and know that what we do does help them most of the time is really nice to hear. And just getting that FaceTime with them and that one-on-one has really been good.
Yeah. It's nice to know you're not just a voice over the radio and vice versa. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
The final question is, if there is someone listening, if there's a dispatcher listening who wants to do more outreach and public education about 911, what recommendations do you have for them?
My recommendation is find what you do in your area. Do you have, like, we have something called Art in the Park and Sculpture in the Park and a cherry festival and a corn roast festival and the farmers market. So find what is happening in your town, in your county, and see if you can be a part of that. The farmers market, we just asked if we could have a booth and hand out, you know, some swag and talk to citizens. And it turns out it's a lot of kids, educating them on that we can text to 911 if you're not able to call and what that looks like. And putting yourself out in your community and whatever you do specially there, seeing if you can be a part of that. And also, in a different way, making sure that you're supportive of people who come to you with different ideas that you would never expect yourself to be a part of, because it might be really exciting and you might get promoted from sidekick to co-host.
Yep, that's it.
That's it.
I definitely agree with Erica with, like, every community has its, like, public outreach. Like, there's ways that the community comes together, maybe not with COVID right now, but there's ways that, like, we always come together and, like, try to get to know your community. And that's a good way to public educate. Also, maybe not like on 911 calls, but if you find yourself getting frustrated on like admin lines, if dispatchers take those, I don't know, every center is different, but if you find yourself getting frustrated with some people's questions, take a second to like remind yourself they're calling you for a reason, because they don't know any better. And as frustrating as it might be, because we could be helping somebody instead of taking the call about how to pay my parking ticket, but like educating them with like, hey, just so you know, you can do XYZ instead of calling us. Try to educate them as much as you can in the moment, if that's possible. And then maybe they'll spread the news and be like, oh, I didn't know that. My Aunt Sally's the one that told me to call the police. So maybe I'll tell my Aunt Sally next time, just call the courts or whatever the circumstance might be. So try to take a moment and very kindly like explain to them that like, this isn't what we do, but blah, 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 blah. So I think that's always helpful, instead of getting frustrated and hanging up the phone and be like, well, why didn't they know any better? It's like, well, they didn't. So
right.
That's why.
Yeah. And there's nothing you can do about that, right? All you can do is move forward and right. Say, okay, well, for next time, here's this information. Exactly. Ta-da. Tell Aunt Sally.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, you guys, this has been wonderful. This has been delightful. I've just had a blast chatting with you. I might have to bring you back, honestly, because I just had so much fun. Go ahead and tell the listeners your social media handles.
We're on YouTube at How To 911 Podcast. We have just a couple of videos, not too much, mostly just audio, because we record so much in advance that like we didn't think about videos before. Instagram is How To 911 Podcast. We have Facebook, and it's Loveland Emergency Communication Center. We're kind of combined under the whole umbrella. And then you can even email us if you have any questions at howto911podcast@cityofloveland.org. And you can find all that information on our Instagram. So that's a really easy way to just to find it all. And we have like a little link that shows you also where you can listen to us if that's something that you guys want to do, or share us to your friends who might not know anything about what you do.
And if you didn't memorize all of those things, they will be in our show notes. So I will link you to all of those things there. And, you know, other links that you guys can check out about Loveland, about Erica and Sammy, headshots, probably not. Who knows?
Love it.
And then Dispatch in Depth as well. If you have ideas for guests or topics or you just want to get in touch with us, you can email us at dispatchindepth@emergencydispatch.org. Again, thank you so much, ladies, for joining us and thank hope you. To talk to you again soon.
Yeah, yes. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Dispatch in Depth. Remember, it really helps if you rate and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts. Dispatch in Depth is hosted by me, Becca Barris. I'm also the technical director and producer, and Matthew Maiko is the executive producer.